Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Today, kids are being taught that the color of their skin defines them again. And if they look a certain way, they're an oppressor. From colleges to corporations to our culture, people are making money and gaining power by pretending we haven't made any progress at all. By doubling down on the divisions we've worked so hard to heal. You know this stuff is wrong. Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country.
Beach Drop, Drop Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no, yeah. No one admits it, and you say like, "Hey, Mike's going to replace somebody. This is going to be who is it going to be?"
I would probably get rid of. I would keep Anna and Will because I think they're both good. I would get rid of that show. We'd probably put some syndicated programming on it, which is cheaper, and then I'd add them to different shows.
Oh, okay.
I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure. But that's the first thing that I would do.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2...
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Koontz. I'm the host. Anna Hummel will be here shortly. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there, Radio STPETE, and you can find Anna at Anna Hummel Radio. I hope you're well. I hope you're doing okay. We had President Grandpa Voices first, I don't know, address to Congress or whatever, And lots of good things happened, you know, according to them, everything's great. It's really bizarre. I don't know if they have eyeballs and walk outside very much, but according to them, everything's awesome, and it's only going to get better. President Biden was, I heard, the only thing I saw, I didn't watch it, by the way, but I just saw a few clips on Twitter and stuff, and I noticed that he said how great it was that he had Nancy Pelosi and his vice president, Kamala Harris, behind him, and he was so excited to say that it was Madam Vice President, and it was the first time anyone's ever said that. And I kept seeing reactions from, you know, a lot of people, even people who were on the other side of the aisle, that were kind of like, yeah, that's pretty cool, I guess. Yeah, I got to give them props for that. And I go, folks, they're quite literally demons from hell, these people that are in power. I don't think they understand this. The military-industrial complex is under control of all women, so they are the ones who are now bombing brown people across the world. And they celebrate this fact, even though, they might be a couple shades darker than themselves. And that's usually a bad thing. However, it's not now since they carry the flag and they're the ones doing it. Everything's A-okay. That clip at the beginning was Senator Tim Scott. He gave the rebuttal to President Biden's address. And the big takeaway from that was that he said that America is not a racist country. And how did, Twitter react? How did the people who claim not to be the racist ones react? Well, they called him, quote, an Uncle Tom. And they called him Uncle Tim, which was a cute play on words. And Twitter let it trend for 12 hours. He was attacked as Uncle Tim for saying that America is not a racist country. The term began to trend on Twitter late Wednesday, after Scott noted in his speech that he has been the subject of derogatory comments about his race because of his political views. That didn't stop anybody from jumping in there, the anti-racists from doing that. It wasn't until 10 o'clock on Thursday morning that the social media giant stopped the attacks from appearing in the trends. And Scott, in an appearance on Fox and Friends, slammed the use of the slur by his detractors, adding that you cannot step out of your lane, according to the liberal elite left, and that a tolerance so often comes from the left because words like Uncle Tim began used against me by the left, and that last night it was trending on Twitter, Scott said. He said it's stunning that in 2021, those who speak about ending discrimination want to end it by more discrimination, which is just true. They've kind of blocked off these barriers where these rules only apply to anyone outside of their circle, right? So you can be slammed if you don't, vote and do what they want you to do. You can be slammed by these terms, but they don't apply when they're used from inside the circle against an ideological enemy. And there's also a movement that just because of the color of your skin, I mean, there's black white supremacists now. And that used to be a Dave Chappelle sketch, a very funny, maybe the best sketch of all time. Clayton Bigsby, the black Klan leader, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that was funny. And now that's just people go, yeah, that's just real. You go, how did we get here? How did we get here? I certainly don't know. So that was really shameful what happened to Tim Scott, even if you don't agree with him. But that's just the world we're living in now. You're able to, discriminate based on color if you're outside of their worldview. So I don't know. It was shocking to see. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, home_made_man. Good news this week, just when you think things cannot get wackier, well, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced that it is committing to advancing two tobacco product standards to significantly reduce disease and death from using combusted tobacco products. They are going to be banning menthol cigarettes and, I guess, cigars, flavored cigars. Why? Well, it says that banning menthol, the last allowable flavor in cigarettes, and banning all flavors in cigars will help save lives. True. That's true. Maybe. Is it true? I mean, if you're addicted to cigars and cigarettes, you'll just find some other alternative. Or get into the business. That would be smart. Get into some sort of black market biz where you could sell cigarettes with menthol in them to your friends and family, neighbors, and community. And this will help save lives, they say, particularly among those disproportionately affected by these deadly products. Who is that? Well, that is communities of color, of course, low-income populations, and LGBTQ+ individuals, all of whom are far more likely to use these tobacco products. Commissioner Janet Woodcock said, she's the acting FDA commissioner, and together, these actions represent powerful science-based approaches that will have extraordinary public health impact. This is just paternalism. It's a form of racism. They need to protect these communities from themselves. They don't know what they're doing. They need to get slapped on the wrist and use regular tobacco. Obviously, that's the cure. I don't understand this. And I know that you just know if the orange guy won and somebody went to his desk and said, listen, man, you got to ban menthol cigarettes because, you know, minorities are not doing well with it. They're dying and you got to do it to help. It'll be good. You'll look like a hero if you do this because you're, you know, helping them. You know that the narrative in the news would be he's going to create more Eric Gardners. Eric Gardner was the man who was killed by police for selling Lucy cigarettes outside of a convenience store in New York City a couple years ago. And that would be the narrative, that because this will create a black market, it will incentivize people to sell Lucy's and create their own black market. Once something becomes illegal, people see business enterprises. Industrious folks do that. And I was very surprised to see that the ACLU did kind of pick this up. The ACLU is concerned that the Biden administration's nationwide ban on menthol cigarettes and other tobacco products would foster an underground market that would disproportionately harm people of color due to over-policing. Yes. Yes. The ACLU is a dumpster fire. It's a complete mess. They have no intent on protecting civil liberties and speech anymore. This was this organization once defended even the Ku Klux Klan to their speech. Now, of course, they would never, ever, ever do that. They are completely ideological, but they're right. This will affect people of color. If they're going to ban something and ban the sale of something, and it also affects minority populations more, if you're going to put a law in place, you better be prepared to use force in order to enforce that law. So they're going to have more interactions with police. That's become an issue. We want to, not have as many interactions with police. So if you create more laws, you're going to have more interactions. You're going to have to enforce those laws. So they're absolutely right. And they actually did invoke the death of Eric Gardner. He died when an officer held him in a chokehold after he sold the cigarettes outside of a convenience store. And they also invoked George Floyd as well, who was, he tried to buy a pack of cigarettes with a counterfeit 20. And they said, at this pivotal moment, as the public demands to end police violence erupting from minor offenses, we call on the Biden administration to rethink its approach and employ harm reduction strategies over a ban that will lead to criminalization. They nailed it. I think it's very true, and you know, if you, like I said, you put something in place, you better be prepared to enforce it, and they'll use their shock troopers of the state in order to do that, and it's just going to be a cluster, and they'll still be lauded as heroes in press, even though they are, in fact, the ones harming these populations. 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioSaintPete.com.
I like a wedding, Anna. I think I'd prefer funerals, to tell you the truth.
What? Why?
They're just more low key. There's so much happening at a wedding. Same things happen at a funeral that happen at a wedding, but it's just less noise.
Are there drinks at funerals?
You drink in your car. Oh, generally, that's what
nice.
I do.
Okay. And then DWI on the way home?
No, I mean, there's ways to avoid that. You take an Uber.
Oh, right. That.
Or, you know, you do some cocaine on your way. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. I have done that. But the first time.
When was the last time you did that?
Cocaine?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
We've been friends for.
I think before I knew you.
4 years.
Yeah, before that.
I've seen you wear a shirt that says, don't let me do shots and coke or something.
Yeah.
But I've never seen you do coke. And
no,
I like that. I like coke.
Oh, really?
I don't do it often, but, you know, if it's around and offered, then I'm surely partaking.
It's even when I did do that, I didn't do it, if that makes sense. It would be so rare.
Correct. Same with me.
And
I was doing it even when I knew that I needed to get an echocardiogram because some heart ish runs in my family, and that's balls right there. Be like, I think I may have a congenital heart condition. Nevertheless, I am going to continue doing Adderall and cocaine as a protest to my genetics.
I went to my friend died, and I went to his funeral, and I was thinking of stories that I could tell at his funeral, and when none of them were appropriate.
That was like 2 weeks.
It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, 2-3 weeks ago now.
And then. That's so crazy. And then last weekend you went to a wedding.
And then I went to a wedding.
Interesting.
So I got to combine the two. And I was trying to think of stories that I could tell. And one of them was, I guess I could tell it here now. The first time I ever did cocaine was with this guy.
That died.
That died.
From?
Heroin.
Cocaine. Oh, it was heroin?
Yeah. And, but I was thinking, like, thank God I did cocaine that day. And I'll tell you why. Because it started out, I wasn't supposed to drive. It was my first Gasparilla. We're having a blaster at somebody's home, which is where you need to be for Gasparilla. You don't want to be on the streets
like a jobber.
Like a plebeian.
Like a loser.
Yeah. It's
with
just,
no bathroom. Get out of here.
Yeah, forget it. Forget it. I would never go unless I'm at somebody's house
and
have access to a bathroom. It's hell on earth. And I just so happened this guy had, you know, this cocaine, and he said, do you want to do it with me? I go, I'd never done it before. And I wasn't supposed to be driving. Driving was supposed to be taken care of. Of course, always, the two times that I've been to Gasparilla, the driver got drunk and couldn't drive. So we had to get a ride or something. And this was many years ago, by the way. And I would never do this now. However, the driver ended up getting drunk. I was on cocaine and partying all day, and I drove home on cocaine, and I got home fine.
That's probably better than being drunk, to be honest with you.
I was drunk too, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Well,
if I did get pulled over, I'm sure that I would have been over the limit there.
Yeah.
But you know, things. You're a young person. You do stupid things. Thank God. You know, I didn't kill anybody or kill myself.
Sure, and it worked out.
But it was fine. Yeah, I went. In fact, I even went out and drank 11% double IPAs after I got home. And I died the next day. The hangover was so intense and so brutal that my spirit left my body that day and just didn't return for 24 hours. So that was my first experience, and it's been sparingly ever since. But the funerals and weddings things, the wedding was great. It's fun. You know, but you do the same things. You catch up with people, which is hit or miss.
Did you go by yourself?
No, I went with my friend Jim, who is also a friend of this person's whose wedding I went to, and he lives right down the road.
I'm sorry, are we talking about the wedding or the funeral?
Oh, the funeral, I both. I had partners that went with. Yeah, I didn't walk in there solo.
I got you. Okay.
But you do the same things. You know, you catch up with people. That's hit or miss. Mm-hmm. There's some people that are what are you doing now? You know, that type of thing. You have those conversations, and some are genuinely interested and others just want to shame you, I would say.
Shame you for what?
Be passive aggressive.
About what?
It's people that you don't particularly like and you don't like them. But, you know, you were at one point in each other's lives. And I had this one experience with this person at the table. What are you doing now? They ask always. Oh, well, you know, and I
you're
say...
not even connected on social media, so this must be a very distant contact.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what I mean?
It's friend of friend.
Because even people that I met in a bathroom in 07, I follow on Instagram.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm
friends with on Facebook.
Yeah, so it's a very... we've always had this, like, weird, like... We don't really like each other, I don't think, but it's cordial.
Right.
At least. And they asked what I was doing, and I told them I was working at a radio station now, and I co-host a program on the radio.
So what kind of music do you play?
None of that. Worse.
Oh,
went
no.
Right into, do you volunteer? Is that something you volunteer for?
Oh, that's insulting.
That's very, I went, oh, no. And I wanted to say, well, basically, because, you know,
of
obviously.
Course, but once they come at you with that passive aggressiveness, you gotta boast at that point.
Then I had to go, oh, no, I'm in a radio station that's, top of their game in the area.
Yeah,
and
you start bragging and
yes,
flexing.
Yes,
you
yeah,
have to.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it's called the stand your ground law. I don't know if you know about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the castle doctrine. I had to defend my honor.
Yeah.
So it was that was unusual, but it was fun, you know. You catch up, you drink, you know, you eat, And
you don't have to pay for it. I mean, of course, you got a gift for the...
Yeah.
The newlyweds, but...
It's a new age now with gifts, by the way.
Oh.
It's like I got sent a website, an HTTP www.website that you click on, and there's no registry. It's like sections of, like, you can donate to entertainment. You can donate to honeymoon. You can donate to snacks.
Just straight money.
Money. That's it. Instead of just putting it into a pot, they make you feel like you're doing a little something else. So you donate
exactly
it to certain things.
Where your money is going, yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciated it, frankly.
Better than buying a gift, wrapping the gift, bringing the gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd rather just give money. I'm sure that's what every couple wants that's getting married. Most of them, you know, they're not. I think when you got married, when you were in the old days, when you were 18 or 17 or something, you didn't have a toaster.
Yeah.
Maybe, but, you know, people get married now way later. They all have toasters. Yeah. Now they have two toasters.
Right.
They're combined between the two, so they don't need any of that stuff. So just cash.
And even better, if you like are one of those jerks that didn't bring a gift, you won't be shamed when you walk in the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nobody would know.
Right. It's not like you have to come with a gift in your hand and everyone sees you walk in with it. It's like, well, we all donated online. It's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, so you
so
could get away.
The only people that know would be the couple.
Yeah.
But nobody else.
Nobody else.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I liked it too. It was great. So that was fun. And yeah, but they're just the funerals are more low key. There's no dancing at funerals, which I like. But there's plenty of dancing at weddings.
Yes.
And they demand that you dance.
Do they?
You have
Who
to dance.
Who is they?
Well, you know, they have a DJ that's
on the floor.
Yeah. It's just like kind of frowned upon. I almost feel like they look at you like you are less than if you don't get out on the dance floor.
Here. If it's a smaller party, perhaps, because then if you stand out more if you're not dancing. But if there's like 250 people, there's bound to be some people just kind of hanging back and doing their own thing.
Mm.
How many people were there?
It's hard. I don't know exactly, but I would say over 100, under 200.
Okay,
I know that's
so
a big
size.
Variance.
It's a medium size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough chairs. When we got in there, we had to sit in back like freaks, like stand in the back because we waited too long. We went to the bar next door and started drinking. And we kind of got walked in a little bit late, so there was no chairs available for us.
So you had to eat dinner standing up?
No, there was just the reception, we had seats. They had assigned seats for that. But when you walk in and actually go to the ceremony, there's no, you kind of just sit wherever.
That?
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. We just sat in the back on these weird couches.
Yeah.
But we kind of looked, you know, we're kind of in the back behind where people walk in.
Yeah.
So the bride's like coming, we're like standing up. We probably shouldn't be there, you know, because we're in the background. But it just was what it was. And they didn't say anything. I was nervous that I would be like, doing something like that, but nobody did that.
Okay, yeah.
So it was short and sweet wedding, which is
perfect.
Great.
15 minutes or less is the way to go.
Yes, and it was.
That's it.
And then the party started. Go up, you throw a 20 in the open bar, you know, tip bucket, and it was all downhill from there.
Okay, it looked like you had a lot of fun. I was kind of following along on Instagram.
Yeah, it was a good time. So I did enjoy it. My favorite part was the bride at the end of the night. You know, there's expectations for the bride of what you're supposed to do.
Like schtup the husband? Or
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she was concerned about that. She just kept going, I have to have sex tonight. She kept doing it like over and over and over again.
She wasn't like a virgin or something, was she?
No.
She was just,
not
in the mood to have sex. Like,
yeah, she's just, everybody's drunk. But her, you know, her husband's cross-eyed. At this point with booze, so I don't think he's going to, you know, want to do that either.
Yeah.
Probably just wants to crash. I just thought it was funny that it was something that she was concerned about. And I'm like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You should, but you don't have to if you don't want to. You can say no.
She was super messed up.
Oh, God. It was just a booze.
Oh, I like that. I like when the groom and the bride are the ones, like, the most effed up. Because usually they have to kind of keep their bearings because they have so many people to interact with.
Yeah.
But if they're just losing their mind, then, you know, A+.
These people, oh, my God.
Just lushes.
It was my ex-girlfriend's sister that got married. The ex-girlfriend was there and kind of C-blocked me a little bit, which was uncomfortable. Not that I was staying with my friend.
Okay.
So
who's
like
a male?
Who's a male. Yeah. And we had, you know, different beds and everything, but you can't really bring, you know, even if something would have happened wildly, some fantasy, it would have been tough to navigate, you know, sharing a room and a bed and all that.
So why was she, did she have a date? Is she married?
She's married to a man.
And she was C-blocking you?
Yeah, I was just talking to this girl at the bar who was at the wedding, and she just kept coming up and
interrupting.
And then mentioning that we used to date.
Well,
annoying. I'm talking to this person, and the lady's like, oh, this is
weird.
She was freaked out, and I was just, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, this is very uncomfortable. And
dated, what, like a decade ago?
More than that.
Really?
I mean, we're talking 12.
That? Hey, that was
12 years ago?
Yeah, did you say that?
No, I just stared daggers through her and go, what are you doing? And then she also kept doing this thing where she'd go, she has a boyfriend, by the way. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm just talking with somebody at the bar. It's not a big deal. But
that's
there was
really
there was
annoying.
Some y'all, oh man, I was so mad. So mad. So uncomfortable.
Yeah. Did you tell her to, you know, GTFO?
Yes.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a disaster.
Did you pull her to the side and say, what are you doing?
No, because it was I did ask her for an Adderall. That's about as far as that went. But it was, you know, it just was what it was. By that time it was so late and the night was ending anyways, but it was bizarre. And I just feel bad for her husband at this point. And
sure.
I feel like I dodged a bullet.
Yes.
Great girl, but also complete lunatic. Complete lunatic.
How long did you guys date?
That was probably 3 years.
Okay.
I messed up bad. I had girlfriends from 19 to like 24 or 25 years old, which was a bad move. That's the days where you should be messing around and, you know, having a good time. Yeah, I just did it completely the opposite way.
Well, I mean, you still had, you know, 25 to 30, you could still have some fun. But I understand.
Yeah, but 30, it's like, all right, and you know, well, 30, you got
to
settle down.
It depends who you talk to, because some people we know at 30, 31 were kicking ass.
Right.
In terms of numbers.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden decided, wanted a girlfriend, and then boom, it just appeared.
Yeah.
There's just some people that are like that. They just always seem to, it always seems to fall in their lap ever so easily, but then there's people like you and I, Will, and that's why I like you. It's just, life is a struggle, and I like that we experience it the same way.
Well, it wasn't like that for me as a younger man.
It is now.
Yeah, it is now. Yeah, and I guess it was when I was like young, like high school. I didn't have girlfriends. College, I did. Bad move. That's the time where you should. I did. It was just everything was the opposite. I should have done it the complete opposite way.
Yeah.
But you know, life just didn't work out that way. Yeah. But we got a long way to go. So you had a very exciting experience to you.
The show that I work on, the Bubba the Love Sponge show, was featured on the Howard Stern show.
Wow.
A couple times. Now, Howard and Bubba are friends. Bubba used to work at Sirius with Howard back in the day, and they keep in contact with one another. Now, last week I was not... last week, but the week prior, I was sick with COVID, as we discussed last week. And Howard had taken a clip from the show, Bubba Show, and played it, but I wasn't on it because I wasn't there because I was at home sick with COVID. So I was kind of bummed that I'm like, God damn it. They played our show and it's the one day that I'm not on it. So a couple days ago, I get a DM from a dude and I'm just like, oh God. And they said, did you know that you were on the Howard Stern show today? And I said, shut the up.
Right.
And he goes, no, it was you, it was Blitz, who I work with, and Bubba. All your voices were on there. So I'm like, I got to find this. So someone found the clip for me, sent it to me, and it was awesome. Because you just hear Howard's voice, Robin's voice, and then the first word of the clip that they play from our show is Anna. Someone was asking me a question and they said, Anna, like, what were your worst symptoms? Whatever. And then I respond, I sound like a dude, which is fine. You're non-binary. I'm a guy. It's cool. Everything's, you know, upside down. But I was freaking out because I was like, that is so cool that my voice in whatever capacity, even if it's under the umbrella of Bubba and he doesn't know who the hell I am, still counts. It was awesome. And I mean, I grew up listening to Howard ever since I was like 11. So to be somewhat on his show, especially with my name, was really, really, really cool. Again, even though it was like, I wasn't saying anything important or profound or anything. I was just talking about my COVID symptoms. Just the fact that, you know, and it kind of took me back to like, I came to Florida 5 years ago and I was handing out flyers and t-shirts. And then like 5 years later, like, my voice is on the Howard Stern Show.
That's how it
goes.
That
was really, really cool to be like, okay, we're making some progress here. This is good. So that was awesome.
Did they say your name?
No, like Blitz, who is a producer on the show, he said my name in the clip.
Okay.
So he's saying, Anna, what was your worst symptoms? But they took that clip and played it on Howard, so you hear my name.
So did they acknowledge you at all? Did Howard or any of the...
No.
They didn't go, oh, this is Anna.
No. Okay. They're just like, oh, let's play a clip from the show. And then it starts, Anna, what were your worst symptoms? And then I'm talking about it, and I'm laughing with Bubba and stuff. But I was a significant presence in both the clips they played.
Mm.
So that was... Even though I was pretty much a laugh track on the second one, because... Bubba was talking about how he pooped his pants by accident.
Oh, boy.
And you know how I feel about poop stories. They're
hilarious.
My favorite.
Yeah.
And I love highbrow stuff, but I'll never be too good for a poop story or a fart story or sometimes both.
Mm.
So that was just really, really cool.
Do you listen to Howard Stern anymore?
Not really.
Yeah, not. No. I don't really at all. I see clips sometimes, and I know he's... I don't know. He's very afraid of COVID,
yes,
it seems like.
That. And I did see the New York Post article that came out literally the next day. I don't know if you saw that.
No, what was it?
It was just like an editorial piece about how he's going downhill and not what he used
to be.
He's
an old man.
Yeah, right, you know. Right. And that he's scared of COVID and all that sort of stuff.
He's scared of everything.
I know. He's a hypochondriac. He's Jewish. You have to understand.
I do understand.
Jews, we have a way, but they have a way where they just become kind of... neurotic about everything. It starts in youth, you know, you're born with it, Jewish guilt, neuroticism, but it gets worse with age, like most things.
Yeah, he kind of lost me with when he started to get into the cancel culture stuff, and he made his career off being super offensive. I mean, he wore blackface, he's done all these things in his past, and then it's like, well, now I've grown and I've learned my lesson after he's garnered all of this success, and
money,
he's the king, and now he's like, well, you guys can't do that now because we have to evolve and get better, and that was frustrating.
I completely understand and acknowledge that, but I've separated that from like the icon, the legend of Howard Stern, and I was so overcome with joy that like I was on a show that I didn't even care about all that stuff. But yes, that is true, though, what you're saying.
You know they had, Ronnie the limo driver?
Yeah.
I think he quit, and I think he quit because there was this, you know, he's always has a revolving cast of characters, one of the producers or some guy that was on that show. No, somebody else, one of the newer ones. I think he was gay, not that that matters, but I think he was a gay guy, mm-hmm. If you know, I don't know, the gay guy on the show. He was upset because Ronnie... wouldn't say that he wasn't going to vote for Trump.
Wait, and sorry. He didn't say that he wasn't.
Because
they
all hate Trump.
Right.
They hated Trump. This was obviously previous to the 2020 election. And the guy was afraid of Ronnie and like didn't want him around anymore because he wouldn't openly
denounce Trump
publicly. And Ronnie probably did vote for Trump, realistically. He's a old boomer white guy who lives on Long Island. They tend to be conservative.
Sure.
So he wouldn't denounce him publicly. So Ronnie just ended up quitting the show, and Howard let him go and said, well, and kind of agreed that if he's not going to denounce him, that, you know, he can't be, it's
part
an unsafe space.
Yeah.
This is a safe space here. So
interesting. I didn't know anything about that. Not great. But I'm still on Howard, so
yeah.
No, but I understand. Actually, Ronnie was at Bubba's wedding.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He like took over the mic and started saying some really inappropriate things. I saw in a video.
Oh wow.
I think he was calling for something about whores.
Uh huh.
I can say that, but yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what you can and can't
but
say anymore.
I saw this video and then Bubba was like, hey, it's okay, everybody's okay. This is my wedding. Remember me, Bubba the Love Sponge? Like,
oh, and they were offended by him, the guest or something?
No, because they were kind of, basically, if this would have happened at anybody else's wedding, it would have maybe ruined the wedding. But he was like, please, this is the wedding of Bubba the Love Sponge, who made his career off being outrageous. So this ain't nothing. Mm. It's all good. Mm. So, but yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Where do you think it will go from? Do you think that they have a relationship, right? So is there any like, can he help? Can he help you guys do anything?
Well, here's the thing. Probably not. I think that there's like a little bit of hope that maybe once Howard's contract is over, they may need a show to fill in that spot. Mm. And if we can kind of keep, you know, getting clips being talked about, you know, Bubba did work with Sirius for quite a few
years. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be like a, you know, call back to the past, a blast to the past or something like that. But I think that is like, you know, the fantasy hope. I'm not banking on anything like that, but you know, it's just been talked about very casually.
Mm.
But that's all I can say. But it certainly can't hurt when you're, you know, promoted like that. And it doesn't matter how you feel about Howard now, he's considered just like the king of radio, of all radio, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it's hard. It's hard, you know, not to get too much in the weeds with, you know, radio stuff, but it's a tough industry.
No doubt. And it's hard because, and I know we've talked about this before, but you and I or anybody who was trying to get into radio, we were trying to play the game while the rules were changing and the field was shifting. So you're trying to do the things that 20 years ago would have made you very successful in radio, but because the medium is changing, because technology is changing and everything like that, you're like running towards this goal and then the goalpost disappears and reappears somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. It's like, oh, you know, we're chasing this terrestrial radio game, but if you want to make it big, you have to be dominant in the digital space,
right?
On YouTube or, you know, Apple Podcasts or something like that.
I've kind of accepted that that's where the kind of the future is. Hopefully you can bypass corporations and just do your own things. However, you still interact with corporations when you distribute your show or whatever you have. You have to go through YouTube, you have to go through Apple,
yeah,
Spotify, whatever. You're still having to go through these corporations, and it's tough. They could shut you down if they want to. Even if you have your own website, you know, Amazon Web Services runs 90% of the internet, so yeah, they can turn you off too if they want. It's just
And as much as I love podcasting, like it's a good time, I don't think anything for me beats live radio. Like,
but what if it's a live podcast?
Like a Twitch or something like that where it's not necessarily on. Then that's fine. As long as you have people that you are interacting with and that are like either listening to you live or watching you live, where there's that pressure of like you can't just edit out what you're saying. I kind of like that pressure and that adrenaline rush that you get from, you know, you can't post edit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that. So yeah, that would be fine. But usually when you join a radio station, you just have a built-in audience. You have people that just listen to 102.5 The Bone.
Right.
You have people that just listen to 94.1 Wild, whatever it is. So you don't have to like build up your own audience. It's just it's a really nice to kind of jump into something that already exists there for you, built an audience for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bought a domain name that I'm going to use to hopefully we could start doing live stuff. Yeah.
You
could do it many things. You could do it on YouTube. You could do it, you know, and I have the technology now to take, you know, phone calls and do the whole thing. Okay. It's just finding a time and setting it up correctly, which I have no time right now. Even this podcast becomes a burden, but
yeah, of course it does.
I have it set up for the future. I'm thinking about the future, so hopefully things will. Yeah. All right, that's the show. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks, Anna. Follow her at Anna Homo Radio. Follow me, home_made_man. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned, because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. Retweet it. That stuff really helps. Give it a 5-star rating in the App Store. And if you really like it, head over to hmbradio.com, click the Donate tab, and you can throw in a few dollars into that. Don't have to. It's just available. My name is Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.